101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a nonprofit community service.
This is my daddy's station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, eager.
This is the voice of freedom. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday we didn't have the metal report because Gene forgot all about it. Didn't call, so I was racing around here trying to make sure that the line was open. He wasn't even calling, so he's going to call today. Just slipped his mind. It's no big deal. And so that you'll get the up-to-date on the metals market in just a few moments. In the meantime, if you'd like to help us continue to expand our programming, we have back issues of Veritas National Newspaper available. Full size, just like the New York Times, only better, tells the truth. We have issues number 1 and 2, and issues 5 through 14. That's 12 back issues, ladies and gentlemen, for $25 post-paid. Normally, they're $5 a piece, so normally 12 back issues of Veritas would cost you $60. So you're getting about 60% off the normal price. This is a great deal, and they're only going to be available as long as we have them. We're going to run out of them pretty quick because we don't have a whole lot in stock. So while they last, 12 back issues, all 12 back issues that we have in stock, issue number 1 and 2, and issues 5 through 14. Now, I must tell you, if you're purchasing these for the collector's value, that issue number 1 is a reprint with the banner of the newspaper in black instead of blue. We did that so that the original run of issue number 1 would still maintain its collector's value, and nobody could purchase a reprint and pawn it off as the original issue. All of the rest of them are the original issue of that issue of the newspaper. So if you were going to purchase this package for its collector's value, be advised that issue number 1 has no collector's value. but the rest of them do. Now, the original issue number one is worth an awful lot of money now, I understand. In fact, I got a letter about, maybe about 7 months ago from someone who said that there are four different people trying to purchase his issue of number one, and they've offered him as high as $250. Can you believe that? I knew that that these would be worth something someday because they were limited runs, and most of them, of course, as all newspapers do, go in the trash can. So there's not a whole lot of them around. But I was surprised at that price. But here's your chance to own all 12 of the back issues that we now have in stock for, $25 postpaid, and that's over 60% off the original price, which is $5 a piece for back issues of Veritas. Also, looks like the phone is ringing, and I'll bet you that's going to be Gene Miller. And so we're going to go right to the phone. And good afternoon, Gene.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Well, yep. I want to apologize to your audience that I missed you all yesterday. That was my fault. Got kind of carried away with a couple clients.
That's okay. I've already done it for you.
What's that?
I've already done it for you.
You already did it for me.
Did it for you.
All righty. Well, today, gold is sitting at $324 an ounce. Silver is at $4.40 an ounce. Platinum at $427.50. And the Dow was up 13.17 points, followed by a lot of volatility. If you've been watching it the last few days, you'll no doubt have seen a lot of volatility in this market, and keep in mind, you will continue to see that until this thing finally decides to take the direction it's going to go, and I believe that it's going to go down. It's just way overvalued. We've talked about this many, many times, and even with the news now, the government came out with the CPI index, the consumer price index, and all of it looks very, very favorable, very, very anti-inflationary, and whatnot, but nonetheless, the market didn't do anything. It should have been a day that would have had a big rally, but we didn't. Also, keep in mind, with the CPI index and them telling you about low inflationary figures, some of what they're doing, I believe, is to get you discouraged on the fact of owning gold, because if inflation is down, then usually gold is down. But keep in mind, the very ones that are putting these figures out are the ones that don't want you to own it. They want to keep you as far away from gold as possible, and so, or get you into something that they can control it. And one of the things that they've, I believe, initiated in this new tax bill is that prior to this now, we could put American Gold Eagles or Silver Eagles into individual retirement accounts, IRAs. Now they've opened it up where any form of bullion gold, whether it's Cougarans, Maple Leafs, junk silver, any of those type of vehicles can now go into your individual retirement account and be under the shelter of that. And some people will be misled thinking, this is great. I don't have to pay taxes. I can leave my money in my IRA. I can have the junk silver. I can have this or I can have that. The problem that exists in this is that when you take your IRA money and put it into gold and silver, whereas it's still under the umbrella of an IRA, guess who physically has your gold and silver? The government does. The U.S. government has it on their deposit. And so when this whole thing falls apart and you're going to need it, guess who has it? They do, not you. And so I really don't encourage people to go that route. You may think you're saving a buck now by not having to take the money out and pay your taxes on that IRA or whatever to own the gold, but the cost of doing that is going to be far, far shorter if you're not having anything when this whole thing falls apart.
You know what's interesting about what you just said about the being on deposit with the U.S. government is that, a while ago we ran a headline article in Veritas. Fort Knox Empty was the headline?
Yes, I have a vintage copy of that.
Oh, well, that's a collector's item if you have it, and it's in great demand. All of these are. Anyway, we documented what had happened to the gold over the years, And some people took me up on my admonition to not believe anything, to investigate and find out for themselves. So they wrote their congressman or their senator and told them that they had heard there's no gold in Fort Knox and wanted to know how much gold was in Fort Knox and when the last audit was and all that kind of stuff. Well, they got a letter back from their congressman who had phoned the Federal Reserve telling them that there's literally so many, I forget the exact number, but literally trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in gold in Fort Knox, and that the last audit was just a few months before the congressman had contacted the Federal Reserve. But what they didn't tell the Congress people or the senators, and what the senators and congressmen didn't tell the people who wrote in, was that the gold in Fort Knox does not belong to the Treasury of the United States of America or to the Department of the Treasury or to the United States government. It is gold that the United States of America, in the person of the Federal Reserve, is storing for corporations, foreign countries, and financial banking interests around the world.
Oh, yeah.
And because these people are paying storage fees, the Federal Reserve does have to and will, on a regular basis, audit that amount of gold to verify that their gold is, in fact, in storage and so on and so forth. It's a tremendous scam. We have the record of how much gold was on deposit with the Treasury of the United States all the way back from the beginning of this country, all the way up to the present time, and what happened to it and when it was sold and when it was struck into coin and issued and everything else. And folks, except for a very, very small token amount, which is negligible, as a matter of fact, there is no gold in Fort Knox that belongs to the United States of America.
Exactly. I mean, it's the biggest fraud that was ever perpetrated on our country.
What else is going on, Gene?
Well, that's about it. The market was fairly quiet today. And keep in mind, this is a window of opportunity that if you don't take advantage of it now, you will kick yourself for not doing it because we're buying gold at 12-year lows. And so you have one of the best opportunities in recent history.
No, Gene. These people are waiting until it's $450 an ounce to buy it.
And then they'll stand in line.
Then they'll stand in line. That's right.
Exactly. We do have a special running right now. It's a gold and silver special. It consists of one roll of Silver Eagles, 2 1/10-ounce gold American Eagles, and a roll of junk quarters, and the price for that delivered to your doorstep, handed into your hands, is $275 American Federal Reserve notes. I was going to say dollars, but that's not a true statement.
It's not dollars. They're not even notes. They're not. There's nothing on reserve.
Yeah.
The most you can say about them is that they are Federal Reserve, if Federal Reserve is meant as the name of a private corporation. Funny money, that's it, you got it. Monopoly.
Send me your funny money, we'll get you some real money.
Yeah, they didn't name that game Monopoly for nothing. Oh, by the way, that delivered price includes insured to the door, right?
Insured, yeah, fully insured. You never have to worry about it getting lost.
Yeah.
So.
And it has to go by U.S. mail because nobody else will insure coins.
That's correct. You have to go through private insurance companies, FedEx, UPS, any of these other private carriers will not insure coins, and so you have to go through private insurance companies, and it becomes very, very cost prohibitive, and it would end up being passed on to the consumer. So we just elect to go through the U.S. Post Office registered insured mail. It's been doing this for years and millions of dollars worth of coins and never have lost any.
Boy, that's really lucky because we had to stop using the United States mail and go to UPS because we were losing a lot of stuff. No, they sure didn't, and I'm sure that that's part of it.
Yeah.
Well, anything else going on?
That's it.
You know, I did a broadcast yesterday telling everybody what's going on in the world that Dan rather not tell them on the 6 o'clock news, and that they'll never hear on the Communist News Networks as far as the world economy and the devaluation of the money of a lot of the countries in the world. I only gave them just a little tiny bit because I only had an hour. I didn't tell them anything about Brazil. What's happening in South America. I didn't tell them anything about the terrible situation that exists in Russia and some of the East Bloc countries. I didn't tell them about the problems that that some of the Scandinavian countries are having. In fact, the socialism and the Swiss social structure is collapsing around their ears. Their free medical care, the socialist medical care, has deteriorated to such an extent that the doctors aren't working and the patients are leaving the country to get care.
Oh, yeah.
And all kinds of other things. People don't understand that they are on the verge of the biggest economic collapse in the history of the world.
Yeah. It is happening all around us. I've had opportunities to travel over into Eastern Europe and to some of these places and see what's happening over there. And you just can't fathom the poverty that is taking place. Nearly everywhere around us, we'll probably be the last holdout, but it'll happen. But everywhere around us has gone to, a two-tier society. They got the very few rich and the masses of the poor.
Oh, Gene, it can't happen here.
I know. Not in America.
It can't happen here, Gene.
Absolutely.
No way. My goodness. Well, do you know anything about derivatives, Gene?
Well, it's a little bit. It's just a real very risky adventure where you can lose not only what you invest, but it can keep getting worse and worse and worse after that, and you owe them money besides the money you put up front, and it's basically kind of from what I...
Yeah, the money you put up to invest, you can end up owing money.
Well, exactly. Say you gave them $10,000 to a derivative, and the derivative did not go in the right direction. It went down, and again, it's very, very, very risky investment. You could not only sit there owing them, lose that $10,000, you could end up owing them an additional $10,000 or $100,000, depending on how bad it went. That's what happened to the bank in England. The guy in Singapore who had, this was a couple, 3 years ago, but he had invested the money in derivatives.
Yep.
And just lost the bank's fortune.
Yes, what he ended up doing is he lost the bank.
Yeah, virtually overnight. I mean, it can happen that quickly, and you're betting on really which direction the stock market is going, and it's kind of a complicated deal. And if anybody wants you to put your money into it, run like heck the other direction, because that is not where you need to put your money.
Now, I understand when that happened that Lloyd's of London rang the shipwreck bell. Yeah, they got a bell at Lloyd's of London every time a ship that was insured by the members of Lloyd's of London. By the way, Lloyd's of London is not a big company. It's a conglomeration of individuals and companies and insurance companies and people who put up money to insure risky ventures. And it started back in the early days of shipping when ships were made of wood and men were made of iron. And every time that they would hear of a shipwreck where their members lost money, they would ring this big bell. But now now they insure other things, like arms, legs, teeth, eyes, banks.
Rocket ships,
you name it.
Yeah.
Let go of my leg crusher, please. My dog wants to play, and he's got hold of my leg. Come on. Go lay down. Come on. Go lay down. Sorry about that.
He wants to chew on you.
He does that quite often.
On a chew toy, huh?
He loves to play, and sometimes he plays really rough.
Yeah, folks, I've seen this dog. I don't want to play with him. He's not what I would want to play with.
Anything else you can think of needs
to
be covered.
At the moment, I can't just take advantage of the window of opportunity that you have. In the Time magazine a couple of weeks ago, and I have copies of this, so if you'd like a copy faxed to you or mailed to you, I'll be more than happy to get it out to you, where the government itself is putting together contingency plans for a collapse in the economy, in a collapse in the stock market. The various stock brokerage firms are setting up extra phone banks. They've got this set up so that they can convert their lunchroom, drop phone lines. The phone lines are already in place in the ceilings above the lunchroom so that when this thing falls apart, they will be inundated with phone calls, panic clients that won't be able to get out of the market, and they have where they can just, automatically the phone lines are there, they just drop them out of the ceiling and set up the lunchroom into a disaster area, whatever. to handle the phone calls, the thousands and millions of people that are going to be calling.
I'm losing everything. What can I do?
What do I do, you know?
Well, we recommend that you hold on to your stock and wait for the turnaround.
You know, one thing
you saw that movie, Airplane, didn't you?
Yeah.
Remember when they done a dive and all the oxygen masks drop out of the ceiling of the plane?
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
That's what's going to happen. All these phone lines are going to drop out of the ceiling. But I covered all of this yesterday, documented it, gave them the sources, everything.
You know, one thing I found out the other day, I talked to a commodity exchange, one of the security exchange places, and let's say you got a stock and it just gets, for some reason or another, the mismanagement, whatever, and the stock just goes into the toilet, and it can even be delisted. There was one last year, I'm trying to think what it was.
I can't remember the name of it either, but I remember that. And some people were very upset. They opened the paper one day, and their stock wasn't listed in the exchange anymore.
No, it was delisted, taken off the stack, and it just, people have lost basically all their money. But you know what? I asked this, well, isn't that like the death blows of these companies? And this guy says, no, they've already got your money.
Not at all.
They don't
See,
care.
The original issue of stock funds the company.
Yeah.
From then on out, it's just people like trading baseball cards.
Exactly. And they've got their money. They don't have to pay it back ever.
Yeah, the American people think that if the stock market collapses, the companies go out of business. That's total bunk. That's one of the myths created by the socialists to try to scare you about the depression years and all that stuff. They say the banks were closed. The banks were closed for 3 days only. Nobody went out of business unless they had all their money invested on the stock exchange.
Exactly. That's what people are going to lose. So when this thing falls apart, the company's not going to lose a dime.
That's right. It's just going to be the people.
Your money. I thought, this is absolutely crazy.
Gene, you know something? I have discovered that the American people are the most ignorant people in the world when it comes to money, investments, stocks, stock markets, companies, how companies operate, unless they're a part of the management of a company and they do investments and things like that.
Yeah.
Other than that, they don't know anything about the very medium of exchange.
Both of them have turned their money over to some sort of manager. I was dealing with some clients.
You mean they're economically incompetent?
Well, exactly. I mean,
like when they hire a lawyer and go into court, they become legally incompetent?
Yeah. I was dealing with some clients in Beverly Hills, and these are pretty affluent people. And these people did not know what they were worth. They did not know where their money was, how much they had, where it was being invested. They turn their money over to a money manager. A money manager gives them an allowance. They give them an allowance once a week.
Yeah, and over a period of 20 years, the money manager steals all their funds, and then one day they wake up, they don't have anything. That's happened to so many of those people.
Oh, yeah. They wonder, there's scores of them that, thought they were rich, and then they come to find out, the manager hasn't been paying their taxes or hasn't been doing this or, And it was ironic that these people said, I don't even know how much money I have. What do you mean you don't know how much money you have?
They don't even know if they're supposed to pay taxes or not. They just do it because somebody told them they're supposed to.
Here, sign this,
That's amazing. I bet you I could call 20 people today, just dial the number at random, and tell them that I was some official-sounding name and tell them all to report to some specific spot at 4 o'clock this afternoon. I bet you every one of them would show up.
Yeah.
Right on schedule.
Yeah.
Wouldn't ask any questions or anything.
Is that why you call them sheeple?
That's exactly why I call them sheeple.
Sheep led to slaughter.
Yeah. They follow the Judas goat. They get sheared first. In fact, right up on the mountain here is a... Well, I've already talked about that, haven't I? Everybody's already heard that because I talked about it a few days ago. They got big herds of sheep up here on the mountain, and they're shearing them right now. So everybody can go up and watch the sheep get sheared. And pretty soon, we can all watch it on television.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
This isn't funny, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm laughing at the misery that's going to come out of this. I'm not. What's funny to me What's funny to me is no matter how you educate people, no matter what you show them, no matter how well you document it and source it, You could prove it to them scientifically at high noon in Times Square on the Communist News Network, and they'd still go about their everyday business, not changing a thing. Now, to me, that's hilariously funny.
People have got, all they really care about is make sure they got cable TV and their cars in the garage and food on the table. And
yeah.
That's it, you know.
There's people in this town, Gene, who are barely making enough to eat and pay their rent. In fact, they're always behind in something.
Yeah.
And they're always complaining and griping because they don't have what their neighbors have. Yet, I have a good friend who always has work for people. He offers these people a job, and guess what they tell him? Well, if I take your job, then I'll go out of the bracket where I can get welfare and food stamps.
Yeah.
And I'll have to give that up.
Yeah, I can't afford to work.
Woo! I'm glad they said it to my friend and not me. Because I'd have to slap their ears off. I tell you right now, I just would have to do that, and then I'd end up in jail.
We have a backwards society.
Well, I think it's more, I think the term is moronic, really, if you want to know the truth. But that doesn't go for all people, and it doesn't certainly go for most of the listeners to this broadcast.
No, they do have some wisdom that I think they've been taught over the years by yourself.
Well, not just me. I mean, these are people who are looking for the truth. They've been looking for it, most of them, before I came along. Some of them began to be awakened here. In fact, maybe a lot of them were awakened here, but nevertheless, they're the people who are always looking and trying to find out what's real and what's true, and that's what's important about them. That's what makes them very special.
Yeah. There are some that know the truth, you know.
Well, the truth is elusive. Not all of us know all the truth, not me, not anybody, but we're sure looking, and we're doing more about finding it, and we found more of it probably than any other group that's around. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, you want to give out your phone number and talk about that special survival pack number 3 once again? And you might want to mention that you have other things, and if somebody has something on their mind, give you a call, and by golly, you'll find it for them.
Yes, absolutely. We'll answer any questions that you have, survival pack that we have isn't what you need, but you need something different. We have it all. We can put together any type of package for you, but we just offer these specials for people to get started or add to their portfolio. The number to call is 800-295-2432. Again, 1-800-295-2432. It is a toll-free number. The current special that we have right now is one roll of silver American Eagles. Those are 1 ounce silver coins, 1 troy ounce coins. Two 1/10 ounce gold American Eagles, and one roll of 90% quarters, 90% silver quarters. They call them junk quarters or junk dimes.
Isn't that funny? They call those junk quarters or junk dimes. Junk silver is really the overall term for them. And they call what they've got in their pocket quarters, dimes, and dollars, isn't it?
Yeah, they call the stuff we have now money, and they call the old stuff junk.
Yeah, and the old stuff is the real money, and the stuff they have now is really the junk. That's what's funny about all this stuff. I laugh at this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Come a day soon, it won't be funny at all. People will be literally going insane.
When this thing falls apart, this type of stuff will disappear just overnight.
Yeah, well, not only disappear, but the value of it will increase.
Oh, it'll go skyrocketing.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to buy it. You won't be able to find it. It'll be hoarded up so quickly that it won't be able to be bought no more.
Until, Gene, here's what I know they're going to do. When this happens, it will go up through the roof, and then they will take all of their gold and silver reserves out of their vaults around the world and dump it on the markets.
Oh, yeah.
And it will cause the price of gold and silver to sink to almost nothing. And what that is fool's bait. They want to buy it all back at the very lowest price and get the gold and silver out of the hands of all of the people of the world, all in one fell swoop.
Yeah.
Most people will fall for this. They will be terrified when they see what happens to the price of gold when they dump all this stuff out of their vaults on the market and and the price just plummets down along with the paper stock.
Well, even when
then when it's all bought up at almost zero price, only those people who will still have gold and silver will be well off, and in fact they'll control all of the underground markets and what they call the black markets. And I anticipate that gold will stabilize. This is just my opinion, but I anticipate gold will stabilize around $2,500 an ounce or more, and silver won't stop until it hits at least $150 an ounce or more. That's my projections when they pull the plug on this phony economy that they've built up around the world.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, like you say, with him, even with the little bit of money that the, or the little bit of gold that the central banks have dumped here recently, like Australia,
That's what happened just recently. That's why the price of gold went from 385 all the way down to almost 300, was Australia dumped their gold on the world market. And I think that was a shock test to find. It doesn't even make any difference. If you're buying it to protect your assets, it doesn't matter what price you buy it at. Gold will always buy the same number of loaves of bread that it did 3,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, or that it will 500 years in the future.
Exactly.
And
that's the right mentality.
You've got to get the right mentality, and you've got to understand that the fluctuations in the price of gold have nothing to do with its honest and real value. It has to do with manipulation of the market and people's confidence in phony paper that has no backing.
Exactly.
Gold always has the same intrinsic value that it always had, and it always will have that value. In fact, it's the only universally accepted real money on the face of the earth, no matter who you're talking to, what language they speak, where they came from, whether they're wearing a little strap around their crotch and walked out of the jungle yesterday, or whether they live in the biggest, most industrialized economy and cities in the world.
Everybody knows what gold is.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, you're over the half hour. You might as well just stay with me till the end.
Yep.
What else can we talk about? I was going to get into something else here, but now I really don't have time. So let's just stick with this.
Okay.
What else you got to cover? What do you want to cover? Let's talk about numismatics. You know, a lot of people out there hear us talk about numismatics, and they have no idea what we're talking about.
I'll share something about
it. In fact, when I was in the Air Force, I was an aircraft and missile neutronic technician. When I first heard the word numismatics, I thought it was something along those lines.
Something
that was many years ago when I was a little feller. But
well, here's what I wouldn't mind sharing with people, that they need to.
Actually, I said little, not little feller, younger feller.
Younger feller is what I meant. Big fella, huh?
Yeah, I was always a pretty big feller, yeah.
You know, one thing I think people need to be careful with when they're dealing with numismatics. Now, personally, I like numismatic coins, but to a degree.
Gene, what does numismatic mean?
Well, it means that the coin has its intrinsic gold value, but then it has an added value due to its rarity or the scarcity of the coin.
Yeah, as an example, it doesn't have to be gold either. It could be a bronze coin from ancient Rome.
Exactly. It could be any type of collectible coin or semi-collectible coin. Now, the one thing I believe that you have to be very, very, very careful with is the numismatic realm, because the term numismatic covers a very, very broad spectrum of coins. The term to be classified according to the government standard is that a coin, whether gold or silver, has to exceed 15% above bullion prices in order for it to be called a numismatic coin.
When you're talking about 15% above bullion prices, that's the spot retail that it's trading for on any given day, right?
Exactly. Now, so that can cover very low grade $20 gold pieces, you know, VF, XF, you know, very inexpensive, you know, gold pieces, all the way up to rare, you know, one of a kind coins that cost $1 million. They're all fall into that term numismatic.
So yeah, and let me stress again, it does, you're using examples of gold coins, and the audiences might take you literally. It can be any coin. It can be silver. It can be a medallion struck for the World's Fair, as a matter of fact.
Exactly. It could be just an Olympic coin, Olympic silver coin, anything that through the market of the coin achieves a 15% premium above its gold or silver or whatever metal content that it's made out of will be classified as numismatic. Now, one thing that you have to be careful with in numismatics is that you're dealing with a coin that there is a real market. Now, what I mean by real market is that a market, in order for it to be a legitimate real market, means that there are people that are calling and requesting certain types of coins and are not being talked into it and convinced that this is what they ought to have.
Yeah.
Okay? You can take...
These are based upon the demand of collectors who have a space to fill in their collection. Most of these collectors are very wealthy. They'll spend just about any amount of money within reason based upon the number of coins that there are existing in the world that have survived to fill that space.
Exactly. Well, but one thing that people have to realize, there is that collector numismatic market. There are coins that are kind of fall in between there that are better than just common dates. For example, like in St. Gaudens, a common date would be in 1924. They made like 4 million of them that year. And so the odds of them surviving over a coin that they only made several thousand is certainly much greater. So subsequently, it's true. There's far more 1924 $20 gold pieces out there. Now, no collector out there is wanting a 1924, so that's not a collector-driven market. But it's a market that's driven just by the general public wanting to buy gold. Now there's some coins that are in between that market, the common date market and the ultra-rare market, that are just slightly better date markets. They're still all numismatics. Keep in mind, they're all numismatics, but they can have a little bit better dates than, say, the common dates. Those are generally being pushed by, various coin companies around the country. They get substantially more money for them. There's much greater markup in the coin. But those coins, you have to be cautioned at. That market is a created market. There is, number one, the coin collectors already got those coins. They're not looking for them anymore. So they're not going to be driven by that market.
Yeah, if the coin collectors didn't already have them, you wouldn't be able to phone somebody and get 10 tomorrow.
Exactly. So they're not driven. That market is not driven by coin collectors. And the common date market has its other, clientele, that there's people buying common date coins back and forth, just like people buy stocks and bonds and stuff back and forth all day long. So that's a legitimate market, that there's legitimate people requesting it. That in-between market, nobody really, it's kind of the no man's land. Nobody really knows about it, but it's slightly better date coins, and coin companies are asking 3 and 4 and 5 times the price for these things under the guise that, well, you're buying a coin that's 100 times rarer than a common date mark coin, and so it should subsequently do better in the market. Well, now when you go back and look at historical trends, look at the prices, what coins have done year after year after year after year, in their high parts and their low points, these coins in that in-between part haven't done any better. In fact, some of them have done as well. In fact, when it's not a real market, when it's a market that a company creates in order to promote that particular item, and then they're done selling them. Let's say they have only 100 coins, and they sell through that 100 coins. Well, they can't sell you another 100 coins if they don't exist, so they have to go on to something else. But because it was a created market, and then they went on to create another market, and there was no real substantial demand for that particular coin, every time, I've seen it happen, every time the coin, even in a good market, would fall right through the toilet because there was no demand, only demand that was created by the company. And so you have to be very careful. When I'm dealing with clients, unless you are a coin collector and want to collect coins for the beauty and the age and the prestige and all this and that, I'll never recommend to you to buy day collector. I have interest in protecting my financial assets. And it's just extremely risky, to be quite honest with you. So you have to be very careful that you get into a market, if you're going on numismatic coins, you get into a market where there is a real market, a legitimate market, where, you know, coins are being bought because people are requesting them versus being talked into. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yes. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you also have to be careful with games that these coin people play back and forth with each other. I've seen people go to a legitimate coin dealer and buy a legitimate collector's numismatic coin of a certain date, of a certain rarity, which had a specific value as a collector's item, and there might only be three or four of them, you know, in the world of that grade and that pristine condition. And then go to another coin dealer and say, oh, by the way, I just bought this for X number of dollars. And the coin dealer will say, oh, well, that's a uppity, uppity, uppity. I could have sold you one for $40.
Yeah.
And he's telling the truth. He would sell him one for $40, different date, much less condition. But what it does is it creates a lot of ill will. And the person now thinks that they have a coin that's not worth anything, and it's not true. What that coin dealer is trying to do is get them to sell them that coin at a reduced rate and then sell them something for $40 that's probably not worth $40.
Yeah.
I've seen this happen so many times, it's pathetic. And it happens when people buy coins that they don't know anything about, and that's why I've always cautioned the listening audience on this broadcast, unless you're a collector, unless you have studied numismatic coins, unless you know about coins in the commodities market and in the rare collectors market, then you had better stay away from numismatic coins. I've said that from the first day that I ever broadcast, long before I even had a sponsor that dealt in coins.
Yeah, and I think it's important that they understand, though, that there's the difference between that rare numismatic coin, and then just common day generic $20 gold pieces.
Yes, absolutely.
All fall into numismatic, but they are worlds apart as far as markets. They're completely different markets with substantially different risks. You know, you get into that rare numismatic coin market, and for some people, they like it. They enjoy it and find great pleasure in it. But it's not for everybody, and you, like I say, you better know what you're doing.
You also better have a good insurance company.
Exactly, because some of those clients, I mean, I'll give you an example. I had a client years ago who was looking for this particular coin, found it for him, and it was, I believe it was a 1929 MS65 $5 Indian gold piece. It was the only one in the world. It was a one and all as far as population. There was no coin finer than this one.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
There were other coins of that type.
Oh, yeah. There were other coins.
But not one in that grading category at that condition.
Well, there was no other 1929 MS65. This was the only 1929 MS65 Indian on the planet. There was MS64s, MS63s, and other dates that would have been, that may have had even higher grades, but in that particular year, that particular type, it was the one of a kind.
Yeah, and in that category, so that everybody would understand it, if you were alive back in 1959, it would have been the difference between a Cadillac and a Buick.
I'm not quite following you. What you mean, though?
But in condition,
exactly.
In value, in looks, in prestige.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been the difference between owning a Cadillac, Eldorado convertible, or owning the regular, you know, top-of-the-line family Buick.
Well, here's the sad part of the story. Like I say, he loved this coin. He was collecting it, so he had no problem with it, and this is what he wanted. Like 3 years later, another one was found in equal condition.
And that cut his value at probably close to half.
It cut it in half. And then he paid a lot of money. I mean, he paid $50,000 for the it was. And when the other coin came out of equal quality, equal year, you know, and everything, now it's not just adding one.
Yeah, but it didn't come out. I mean, somebody found it.
Somebody found it. Nobody graded and it matched the, you know, came up to the MS-65.
Yeah.
Well, now, not only did it didn't just add one to the population, his population doubled. That's even worse.
Yeah.
You know, if you got a coin that there's 10,000 of them and they find one more, it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's not going to...
It ain't going to change the market.
That's right.
But if you get into a coin where there's very few of them and then all of a sudden they find more of them, it can just totally wipe out your value of your coin on these rare things. And I've seen it happen so many times, it just scares me that the value just drops right in half.
Uh-huh.
You know, and this isn't because the market went down. It's because the population decreased or the population increased and the value went down.
Now, we're concerned with people getting their money's worth and being happy and using their purchases for what we have made them available for. And if they want to go beyond that, then they're on their own. But we want them to be happy and satisfied and get a purchase that really does what they want it to do, and that is protect their assets over a long period of time. And so we're concerned with people knowing the truth about numismatic coins and bullion coins and just bullion that is not coins and medallions and all of these different things that are available. And I regularly have broadcasts that educate people on these things. And if they call you, you'd be happy to help them.
I'll spend as much time as necessary.
And recommend books and publications and everything else that will help them learn, won't you?
Exactly. Because, I don't want people getting into something that they're going to regret later down the road. That's just bad publicity. And I would just soon not sell them anything at all, or at least wait till they're comfortable and get them. My premise was, let's get you what you want, not what I want to sell you. And when we set up, you and I, when we set up our rate structure, they're getting the same deal whether they buy that $50,000 coin or whether they buy the $2 coin.
You know,
we don't make it. You know, in other words, we're not making any more money on the more expensive coins than we are on less expensive coins.
Yeah.
We don't have a vested interest in putting you into something high priced. You follow what I'm saying?
Right. No, we want to put people into what they can afford and what does the best job for them.
Exactly. I want people to get.
But we do recommend that everybody put at least a portion of their assets in precious metals of some kind that will really protect those assets.
Exactly.
Anything that's in paper or anything that depreciates over a period of time. It does not protect your assets. Any paper investment is extremely dangerous at this time.
Oh.
In fact, I would say that it's insanity.
The Federal Reserve itself, this is a really crazy thing. The Federal Reserve itself says in their brochure from Richmond, Virginia, the Federal Reserve Bank out of Richmond, Virginia, called and requested, they'll give it to you. It says that money, right there in black and white, money has no intrinsic commodity value.
Wait a minute. That's another one of their lies. Money really does. What they're trying to do is con the public into thinking that they don't need real money and that what they have is money and that money has no intrinsic value of its own, which is a lie. Money, by definition, must have an intrinsic value of its own recognized in commonality by the people who use it as an exchange item in barter. And that's really what money
is. Real money.
Yeah.
Real money. What we're talking, you and I were talking about real money. They're talking about their phony money.
Yeah.
You know, they misuse the term money.
They do. They misuse it intentionally, and they misuse a lot of terms a lot intentionally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, misinformation is a very powerful tool.
They're criminals. They're con artists, and they're stealing the property of Americans right out from under them. Americans don't even understand what's going on. They create a period of prosperity. They make credit available for everybody. Everybody runs out and borrows a whole bunch of money at interest. And then they go out and they buy things with this money, and that stuff becomes the collateral.
Yeah.
Okay? And then they create a hard time or inflationary period, and salaries never keep up with that, and people have a hard time paying back those things. They don't realize that the loan was not loaned from a reserve of real money, but was created as a bookkeeping entry. So the bank or the lender has nothing to lose by making that loan, and everything to gain if you don't make your payments. They repossess that property, and then they have real wealth, and that real wealth was bought through a con by the sweat of your brow.
Exactly. Yeah, it's such a scam that, you know, when they do borrow you, loan you money, there's no sweat off of them. They didn't take nothing out of the bank.
The money never existed.
No.
They made a bookkeeping entry.
And just because they put $10,000 into your checking account doesn't mean that there was anything they ever put in there. It's just an entry.
That's right. It's just one and four zeros. It's not really $10,000. It's not $10,000 of anything. It's just ink
on paper.
Yeah, they didn't
have to come up with anything. They just wrote it in your book.
And you go out and find the car that you want or the house that you want to purchase with that loan, and then what they do is write a check. Right?
Yep.
There isn't any money involved.
Yeah.
And the bank, even if you don't default and they don't possess the house and the property, what they get is the interest that you paid by the sweat on your skin. You really created that. That's real.
Oh, yeah. And you.
But the rest of it is fake, phony. I mean, they're.
With the interest, depending on how long it is and how high, in most cases, you paid double.
Yeah.
They got back twice as much as what they. Roger, you know, just put an entry in your deal, and it's the most amazing thing ever, you know.
At 7% interest on a 30-year home, 7.5% interest on a 30-year home loan, you pay back 6 times the original purchase price.
Yeah.
How about that?
Amazing. Yeah, it's just amazing. And the other day, what was it on TV? They were talking about writing a check versus having this MasterCard deal that takes it out of your checking account. And they were showing how cumbersome it was to write a check and how easy it was to use their card. And at the very end, it flashed on the screen, MasterCard, the future of money.
Oh, yeah. AT&T, one world, one card.
Exactly. Where we're headed, folks.
Yeah, that's
better just get yourself ready, because that's where we're headed. Personally, I think it's unavoidable. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe if enough people just absolutely revolted, and you know, you could theoretically you could stop the whole system if everybody in the country said enough's enough. We're not going to deal with this Federal Reserve System anymore. And went out and took their money and exchanged it into gold or silver, and they put the Federal Reserve out of business.
Well, they put everything out of business because the money doesn't exist. Most of them wouldn't get any money. There isn't any money. It does. It's not there.
Yeah.
It just is not there.
Yeah. I went in one time and went to cash a check for $16,000 in the bank, and they said, "We don't have that kind of money in here."
Yeah.
You'll have to come back.
It's true.
This is a bank.
It's true.
This is on Friday afternoon when they should have all. And they didn't have that much money in the bank.
Banking business, when it's conducted properly, is good for the country, for the individual, and the economy. The banking business, when it's conducted by a band of thieves, robbers, and brigands like it is now, is nothing but a huge legal theft ring operating behind the protection of the law.
Yeah. Exactly.
And if you want to know the truth, if you really got into the law, you'd find out that they're actually not really operating within the law to begin with, but it's presented that way.
Yeah. The real law wouldn't allow them to do this.
Well, the real law really doesn't, to tell you the truth, when you get into it. It's like everything else. You know, all these people in this country are filing income tax returns on a Form 1040. But when you go in the law and look at Form 1040, what's it for? It's for non-resident aliens. It's for foreign corporations. It's for foreign trusts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It has nothing to do with domestic citizens of the several states or of the United States of America. But by filing that return, you are declaring, under penalty of perjury when you sign your name, that you are a non-resident alien, and now you are liable to file and pay.
Yeah. From that point on.
from that point on. You know, that's what I've discovered in my research. I'm not telling anybody not to file. What I'm telling you is what I know. And I'm telling you that I would never put my signature on a Form 1040, not in a million years.
Yeah. I hear you. I know exactly what you're saying.
But if everybody else wants to do it, that's okay with me.
Yeah. Well, it even says in the instruction book, we'll read the instruction book of a 1040. It says voluntary compliance.
Yeah.
You know, and people just volunteer.
Yeah. And it gives you the exact reference where you go to find out who's supposed to file the form. And if you go there, it'll tell you, non-resident aliens,
yeah, most people never
foreign corporations, foreign trusts, and I could go down the whole list, but they're all foreign, all of them. But, you know, I believe in freedom. I believe anybody should be able to do whatever they want as long as they're not hurting the person or property of any other human being. And that doesn't hurt me.
Yeah, tell that to...
Oh, they don't care about that.
Yeah.
It can never happen to them.
Yeah.
They don't care about that. They don't care about it, most people. A lot of people listening to this broadcast care about it. It's one of the reasons they listen to this broadcast. But most people don't care about it, Gene.
Yeah.
They don't care. If it didn't happen to them or one of their family members, they don't care.
Yeah.
That's how low we have sunk. That's how little moral value and personal honor and a whole bunch of other things mean to the American people anymore.
Well, you know, take welfare, for example. It was the church, the people of the church, the community that was to take care of the widows. And I mean, even if you read the Bible, it defines who is actually even supposed to be taken care of. And this person really was young and able to either remarry or enter into a workforce, they were supposed to take care of them.
Yeah, and the community would help them find a husband or a wife and help them find work, and the families would take turns inviting people over for dinner.
And someone became a widow and there was family still alive,
yeah.
It was the family's responsibility to take care of the needs. There weren't those.
You know what was really great about this country? Even the worthless town drunk, somebody would pay him a quarter to sweep the floor.
Yeah.
Somebody would pay him something to do some work simply out of the goodness of their heart.
Yeah.
And we've become calloused and corrupt and immoral.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there right now. Gene, I want to thank you for being, actually it is, it's there, it's not here. I want to thank you for being the guest today. You weren't scheduled to be the guest. You were scheduled to do the money report, the precious metals report, and turned out to be the guest. But anyway, you were a good guest, and it was a good broadcast, and I hope some people out there learned a lot of things. If you want to call Gene and get your hands on some real money, it's 1-800-295-2432. Adios, amigos.
Have a great day.
And good night, folks. I got to, come on, Crusher. I got to go play with Crusher. God bless each and every single one of you.
Daddy Station. I'm Pooh, classic radio like you always wished it could be. 101.1 FM, eager.
101.1 FM is owned and operated by the Independence Foundation Trust as a non-profit community service.
Get out. Stop it. This is the voice, the voice of freedom. Thank you. listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Stay tuned now for all oldies most of the time. Classic radio, like you always wished it could be. Only the very best of the very best music of generations gone by.